Welcome to the situation update for Monday, July 11th, 2022. I apologize for the short format and also the background noise, but thank you for joining me. We're going to cover just a couple quick things today. And then tomorrow I'll have a full duration situation update podcast. But if you missed the weekend podcast, I put one out on Sunday that covers a lot of what's going on. That's a full length situation update, so you can check that out as well. The explosion that happened in Oklahoma over the weekend, I think, is one of the biggest stories because this natural gas liquid plant or processing facility, an NGL as it's called, natural gas liquids, they had a massive explosion in Medford, Oklahoma, which is south of the border with Kansas. And this plant, of course, has shut down. The people in the area were telling me that they could absolutely smell the smoke and the burning. And some people saw the flames if they were close enough. But this definitely happened. It is the latest attack, I believe, on the energy infrastructure in America. So not only do we have food plants burning down, you know, food facilities with arson and sabotage, but we also have energy facilities that are being blown up in one way or another. Now, recall that the Freeport liquid natural gas facility in Texas had a similar explosion several weeks ago, and then that was shut down, and it was estimated that was going to be back online in about 3 weeks. Originally, that did not happen because the EPA came along and said, no, you're going to have to stay shut down until the end of the year. At least I think the EPA was involved in that decision. But the company made an official announcement there, and it looks like end of the year before that's back online. Now, what's interesting about the Freeport plant, which is different from the one in Medford that just blew up over this weekend, is that the Freeport plant provides a lot of exporting of U.S. natural gas to Europe. Now, Europe is on the verge of an energy collapse. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But the taking out of the Freeport facility actually affected Europe more than the United States, whereas this explosion at the Medford plant in Oklahoma, that affects the United States supply quite dramatically. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but pipelines crisscross the United States, but especially in the Midwest and Texas. So Texas alone has about 17,000 miles of pipeline, carrying a lot of natural gas and some oil and so on, you know, different fossil fuels. Texas produces about 40%, a little more than 40% of the domestic oil supply in America, and about 25% of the natural gas supply. So Texas is pushing out natural gas to other states across America. You could think about Texas in a way as kind of the Russia of America. And I don't mean that politically. I just mean in terms of energy and natural resources. Texas is the largest exporting state in America by far. Texas exports more than California, even, or Alaska, for that matter. And Texas is very, very strong in energy. So the truth is that the rest of America can't really survive without Texas exporting energy. Keep that in mind as we move forward, because Russia is using the halting of energy exports as a wartime strategy to, well, to collapse Europe. But I mean, Europe brought it on itself by shutting off their fossil fuel infrastructure and trying to go green, you know, with Greta Thunberg and all that. But Russia is now just figuring out, hey, all we have to do is turn off these pipelines and NATO nations utterly collapse. So just keep that in mind. Now, some people believe that these explosions happening at the energy plant or, the Freeport plant or the Medford plant, they believe that they're caused by cyber warfare attacks initiated by Russia. I understand that is a viable theory, but that's not the theory that I personally believe. I think this is happening because of the deep state that is trying to take down America. I think this is domestic sabotage by, you know, black hat elements of the deep state, frankly. That's what I think. Could Russia perhaps cause, you know, could they carry out cyber warfare, infect the systems and cause overpressure of pipes and cause explosions? Yeah, theoretically, that's absolutely possible. But is that the most likely explanation for what's happening? I don't think so. I think, you know, it's very clear that Joe Biden is at war with America. Joe Biden's been trying to shut down pipelines and facilities and refineries and exploration and so on. So the fact that these plants are blowing up is entirely consistent with the policy of the illegitimate criminal regime in charge, that the regime that stole the election. So they are an enemy occupying force in Washington, D.C. And as an enemy occupying force, they are carrying out acts of warfare against the United States. And remember, as part of that, they're also shifting a lot of the military weapons for self-defense to Ukraine, allowing China to be able to successfully invade the United States, the continental U.S., if they so choose. I mean, where are our anti-tank weapons? Well, mostly they've been shipped to Ukraine. And mostly they've been used up or blown up by the Russians. I mean, we've even shipped, you know, the HIMARS sort of long-range artillery units over there, a few of them. And we talked about this, I don't know, 10 days ago or so, but the United States' annual production of artillery would be used up in just 10 days of fighting a war with Russia. So when we ship thousands of artillery shells to Ukraine, that is not something that we can easily replace domestically if China were to stage an invasion through the California coastline or through Mexico or Canada or all three. We don't have a way to defend against that because the military is asleep at the wheel. Let's just be honest. I mean, they're not even defending the U.S. border right now, even though there is an invasion of illegals that has been declared by not only a county in Texas, but also now essentially confirmed by the governor of Texas. He's announced, remember, that the National Guard in Texas is going to start rounding up illegal immigrants and just taking them back across the border or releasing them at the border back into Mexico. And by the way, that operation is underway. I can confirm that. That is happening. In fact, elements of that have been happening for quite a while, just haven't been made public yet. So we domestically in America, we are under a wartime attack by an illegitimate occupying enemy force. Keep that in mind, because anything can happen in terms of them shutting down a credit card processing, which is what happened in Canada just recently. All the credit card processing was shut down. The ATMs didn't work in most places and so on. They could shut down the banks tomorrow. They can shut down fuel. They're already successfully shutting down elements of that, such as diesel emissions fluid and, you know, diesel engine oil additives. We've talked about these things. And the strategic petroleum reserves of the United States, which is supposed to be, you know, the backup supply, you know, break glass in emergencies, that kind of thing. They've been shipping that, thanks to Biden. It's been shipped out to China and Asian nations and other nations around the world. So our backup supply of oil is being drained. That is an act of treason against the United States during a wartime scenario. That's an act of treason. You're selling America's oil to the enemy that is threatening to invade and conquer America. Understand? That's how crazy that is. Now, that's what's happening domestically, at least kind of the overview of it. Sorry, I don't have tons of time today to go into all the details. But now let's look at Europe, because the situation there is even more dire and it's accelerating quickly. Here's a headline from the weekend from Zero Hedge. French German leaders warn populations, quote, prepare for total cutoff of Russian gas as social unrest looms. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast, you already have a heads up about this. We've been talking about this day coming when Russia just says no more gas for you. Germany, France, the UK, you know, Italy, Greece, all these NATO nations and so on. But we have, let's see, French economy and finance minister Bruno Le Maire warned that Russia is poised to completely halt gas supplies to Europe because this is wartime. And he says, I think it's a he, quote, let's prepare for a total cutoff of Russian gas. Today, that is the most likely option. So he understands that Russia is going to find an excuse or a way or just announce it blatantly to say, hey, we're not going to ship energy to the enemies of Russia that have declared war on Russia. So NATO nations have declared financial warfare on Russia and also, you know, blocked Russia from the SWIFT system and blocked exports and so on, and are even trying to limit Russia's ability to charge the market price for oil. So why would Russia continue to ship energy to those countries? And by the way, why would Russia export oil to the global marketplace if by halting exports of oil, they could drive oil prices to $380 a barrel, according to JP Morgan? And we covered that analysis last week. And at $380 a barrel, that would cause massive revolts and uprisings across the United States, Canada, Australia, the UK, absolutely, and a lot of other European nations as well, Germany, Hungary, you know, you name it. Because when oil is $380 a barrel, what happens to the price of food? Because farms, you know, farm tractors use diesel. What happens to the grocery store retail prices? Because transport trucks run on diesel. We've covered all this, and diesel trains are the trains that run in America, diesel electric trains, and that carries the coal to the power plants. So if oil goes to $380 a barrel, that means diesel prices would go to something like $25, maybe $30 a gallon. And that means that carrying coal on trains triples, quadruples, or quintuples in price, something like that. Might go up 500% to transport coal. And that means that the price of electricity everywhere goes up potentially 500%, but easily doubled, easily tripled, maybe more. I mean, coal, the price of coal is not the only input in electricity costs, but it is, of course, the major factor. So electricity could go up at retail easily 300%. Now, of course, these are just estimates. We don't know what's going to happen until it actually does happen. But the point is that not only in Europe, and this is the rest of this headline, it says, as social unrest looms, when energy prices are skyrocketing and food prices are skyrocketing, you're going to get revolts. You're going to get civil unrest. Or social unrest in all of these Western nations. And this, I believe, not only is this a deliberate plan by the globalists, they want to topple the United States and Western nations. They want to bring down Western civilization. This is the Great Reset, by the way. You're watching it. It's being rolled out by the day. This is the Great Reset blueprint. Attack the food infrastructure, attack the energy infrastructure, and then collapse the currencies. It's all coming. But my point is, not only is this a globalist plan, but this is also conveniently a way for Russia and China to defeat the West. It's for the moment, the plans of the globalists and the strategic aims of Russia and China intersect. They are running in parallel at the moment. It doesn't mean that Russia is part of the globalists. They're not. It's just that Russia is trying to stop the West from, you know, waging never-ending war against Russia. So if Russia can contribute to this collapse of the West, they are, you know, strategically very likely to do so. So prepare for, of course, mass starvation, famine, but also panic, a lot of social unrest and so on. And it is, things are getting, yeah, very, very dire out there. So in France, Bruno Le Maire has also warned that they have to start making emergency plans to decide who to cut off from electricity. And they call that, quote, load shedding plans. And he says, quote, we are doing it. He says it means looking in a very specific way at each company, each employment area, which are the companies that should reduce their energy consumption and which are the ones that cannot. And what this means is that they're going into triage mode now, the planning for it, because they're going to have to just start shutting off, you know, factories and companies and employers and so on. So they're trying to figure out, okay, do we need to keep the hospitals running? Probably yes. Do we need to keep the military bases running? Probably yes. Do they want to keep the government, you know, ministry offices? Because all the Europeans, they love their government ministry offices. Somebody's got to have air conditioning so they can stamp papers over and over again with all kinds of stamps. You know, what would Europe be without stamps, for God's sake, and bureaucrats to do the stamping? So, yeah, they'll probably keep all that running, which means that the electricity is going to get shut off to you. Yeah, the residential areas are going to get shut down and the rural areas, folks. They're going to shut off the farms, which is going to have implications that are dire. They're going to shut off the rural areas, and they're going to try to keep their cities running. So you're going to see a kind of discrimination and racism in deciding, in their decision of who to shut off and who to keep running. And if the power grid starts to get really attacked in America, the same decisions will be made in America as well. They'll try to keep the liberal cities running while killing off the rural farmers and country people who are Trump supporters. Mark my words, that's what's going to happen with electricity and with food. The government will direct food to the cities to keep their voters alive, and they'll try to starve out the country people. Well, good thing that country people know how to survive, right? Good thing that country people have backup food, because the city people would just start dying immediately if they didn't have, you know, emergency supplies rolling in. But that's how this is going to go down, by the way. So understand that over the weekend, too, in Germany, companies started cutting off hot water. They're starting to dim the lights of certain buildings, especially government buildings and certain public areas and so on. Landlords are increasing the heating costs and, you know, utilities costs. And in addition, the European media is saying that if Russia cuts off gas supplies to Europe, Germany will suffer a 12.7% drop in its GDP just by the end of this year. I mean, that is a catastrophic collapse. That is a wartime collapse. You don't drop 12.7% in GDP unless your infrastructure has taken a major hit. That's like having cities bombed in World War II terms, okay? So things are getting very dire in France, in Germany, and they're starting to plan for the cutoff of energy. And of course, the globalists are just, you know, drooling with joy. It's like, we've finally done it. You know, we've finally found a way to starve them out and freeze them out. And it's called the winter of 2022/23. That winter is going to be brutal for Europe, especially if Russia does cut off all its gas completely. Now, the Russian people will then have lots of excess gas. They'll be warm and toasty, paying almost nothing for gas in Russia, you know, natural gas for heating and electricity, while the Europeans will be starving and freezing and losing their homes and watching their economy implode. It's not going to be a pretty picture. So the bottom line in all of this, whether we're talking about domestically in the U.S., the deliberate explosions, the arson, the sabotage of food facilities, sabotage of energy, takedown of diesel, all of that, or we're talking about Europe, which is losing gas and has previously dismantled its own energy infrastructure. In both cases, the unprepared masses in America and in Europe are going to panic and they're going to revolt. And it looks like that is going to happen this year. Now, of course, the Democrats want a panic. They want a national emergency before the midterm elections because they want a reason to stop those elections. They want to be able to declare an emergency and say, oh, we can't, we're going to have to delay the elections just so they can stay in power, because Biden is so unpopular, such a disaster. And the Democrats are also a disaster as well. So many of them are going to be voted out of power if the vote is allowed to take place. So watch for every effort to worsen every disaster between now and election day. It is as if the regime in charge is literally in a kind of terrorism against the people mode. They are looking through their playbook, like flipping the pages and asking themselves, what can we unleash? You know, dirty bomb attacks on major cities, or, you know, destroying the Hoover Dam or something. You know, well, they're coming up with every crazy, insane scenario, like allowing China to invade, or just faking an alien invasion, whatever they could come up with. They're going to try it, or they're going to try, you know, one of them, whatever one they think is the most effective. They're going to try it. They're going to unleash it against us, and we've got to be ready. I don't mean just, you know, food and silver, whatever. I mean ready psychologically, ready spiritually, so that when that happens, you don't lose your cool and freak out and join, you know, the panic. You don't want to join the panic. There's a lot of people that are going to panic. There's going to be massive uprisings in cities all across Western civilization. I mean, Sri Lanka, like I said, is the canary in the coal mine. What's happening there right now is going to start happening in America and in the UK and in Germany and so on in the months ahead. a total collapse of the government and the economy has happened in Sri Lanka. A total collapse. The logistics supply chain is so broken that no one knows how to start it back up. Because in order to have food, you got to have fuel for the farmers. But they can't get any fuel because there's no money system that is reliable enough by the government in order to import fuel with a letter of credit that the banks will accept, because their debt system has collapsed and the government doesn't even exist anymore. The government has collapsed. I mean, so how do you restart that system without some major intervention coming along? I don't know the answer to that, but it's broken and it is catastrophic. And it's just a sign of things to come across Western civilization. So stay prepared, obviously. Be ready for everything crazy to happen. Hunker down. Plan to stay off the roads. Plan to avoid the protests and avoid the cities. And plan for grocery stores to start having food rationing and also food riots in some areas. And then finally, plan for your neighbors that you've spoken to, or your friends or coworkers you've spoken to about prepping before. Plan to hear from a lot of those folks. They're going to come back to you at some point later this year, and they're going to say, oh my God, I thought you were crazy, but now I realize you were right. What can I do? You're going to have those kinds of conversations as they are eyeing your little supply of number 10 cans. There's like, you sure you couldn't spare some of that, you know, freeze-dried egg product or whatever it is? That we're going to be talking about this later this year, how to deal with the unprepared, how to deal with the panicked. And because you and I, we are ethical, moral, compassionate people, we will try to help as many people as possible. But we also have to maintain boundaries and know that we have to help ourselves so that we can stay healthy and alive and aware, so that from that place, we can then help others as much as possible, help the defenseless. We must help defend people. We must help rebuild at the local level after this collapse. So we'll talk about that in a lot more detail, maybe this week. But just watch the headlines, stay informed. There's a lot coming down. And I appreciate your support. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for understanding the short format today. I'll be back with you in a normal format starting tomorrow and through the rest of this week. And I'm just praying for you, and I thank you for your prayers and blessings. And we're working together on this, folks. We're in the same boat. We're facing the same challenges. I'm facing the same challenges that you are. And I'm scrambling just like you. I'm scrambling in ways right now that you can't imagine. Just trying to help people around me. And maybe I'll fill you in with some details on that later. But God bless you. Thank you for your support. Shop at healthrangerstore.com if you want to get more preparedness supplies and food and freeze-dried fruits. Go check out icangrowfood.com to learn how to grow food. And then remember, for backup communications, check out sat123.com and scroll down. And if you scroll down on that homepage, you'll see the EcoFlow solar generators or what are we calling them? Energy storage devices with lithium. EcoFlow, check those out. They can help you in a pinch. They can help you function when the grid is down. I know that because actually I've been living off an EcoFlow for a couple of days on just running, charging laptops and mobile devices, and also running the Bivy Stick satellite comms devices, because I am essentially off grid right now, but I'll be back on grid here shortly. But thank you for everything. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless you. Take care.